Hello, welcome back to the English programmes. Audio Boo here, and we are continuing. We had a spare 5 minutes, so we thought, let's do another one of our Bronte Boos. So here we are, doing another one of our Bronte Boos. Okay. Villette, we're not too sure, but anyway, chapter... Oh, pardon me, I'm having a bit of trouble here speaking. Chapter 1, part 3. I'm so excited about getting back into the story, I can't wait. Okay, here we go. And I hope, added my godmother in conclusion, the child will not be like her mamma, silly and frivolous. I like that word, frivolous. A little flirt, as ever sensible man, was weak enough to marry. For, said she, Mr. Home is a sensible man, in his way, though not very practical. He is fond of science and lives half his life in a laboratory, trying experiments, a thing his butterfly wife could neither comprehend nor endure, and, indeed, confess my godmother, I should not have liked it myself. In answer to a question of mine, she further informed me that her late husband used to say Mr. Home had derived this scientific turn from a maternal uncle, a French savant, not too sure what that word is there, folks. Make a note of that. Let's highlight that in yellow. We shall come back to that later. For he came, it seems, of mixed French and Scottish origin, and had connections now living in France, of whom more than one wrote D-E before his name, and called himself Noble. That same evening at 9 o'clock, a servant was dispatched to meet the coach by which our little visitor was expected. Mrs. Breton and I sat alone in the drawing-room waiting her coming. John Graham Breton being absent on a visit to one of his schoolfellows who lived in the country. My godmother read the evening paper while she waited. I sewed. It was a wet night. The rain lashed the panes, and the wind sounded angry and restless. Poor child, said Mrs. Breton from time to time. What weather for her journey. I wish she were safe here. Little before 10, the doorbell announced Warren's return. No sooner was the door opened than I ran down into the hall. There lay a trunk and some band boxes. Beside them stood a person like a nurse girl, and at the foot of the staircase was Warren with a shawled bundle in his arms. "Is that the child?" I asked. "Yes, miss." I would have opened the shawl and tried to get a peep at the face, but it was hastily turned from me to Warren's shoulder. "Put me down, please," said a small voice when Warren opened the drawing-room door. "And take off this shawl," continued the speaker, extracting with its minute hand the pin, and with a sort of fastidious haste doffing the clumsy wrapping. The creature which now appeared made a deft attempt to fold the shawl, but the drapery was much too heavy and large to be sustained or wielded by those hands and arms. "Give it to Harriet, please," this said. It turned and fixed its eyes on Mrs. Breton. "Come here, little dear," said the lady. "Come and let me see if you are cold and damp. Come and let me warm you at the fire." The child advanced promptly. Relieved of her wrapping, she appeared exceedingly tiny, but was a neat, completely fashioned little figure, light, slight, and straight. Seated on my godmother's ample lap, she looked a mere doll. Her neck, delicate as wax, her head of silky curls, increased, I thought, the resemblance. Mrs. Breton talked in little fond phrases, as she chafed the child's hands, arms, and feet. First she was considered with a wistful gaze, but soon a smile answered her. We take a break there. against the clock here, we have 5 minutes, and then it stops. This is the English programme.